Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Betches Media presents.
I really want to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, no, don't put me down for cardio.
Diet starts tomorrow.
Exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy.
I want to quit the gym.
Happy people just don't shoot their husbands.
With hosts Aileen Cooperman.
Joey doesn't share food!
And Sammy Fishbein.
Whatever, I'm getting cheese fries.
Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And we are back with a fan favorite. Jared Fried, host of the U Up podcast, and a DST family member, if there ever was one.
It's such a pleasure to be part of this family. I'm also a fan. I'm also a listener. So let's say I'm a part of this whole community. I'm in the Facebook group. I'm all over this podcast. So it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Well, we're thrilled.
We're thrilled. So last time you were here, it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How did that go for you? And so I guess we're here. We get together for every major holiday. So Valentine's Day was the last one that came by. How was your Valentine's Day?
So we kind of check in with each other at the kind of the pressure points during the year, right? Like I feel like I'm the emotional check-in with how angry everyone is
about checking holidays. How you're doing, honestly.
Yeah, holidays are like really a strong part of your brand, I would say, generally. Holidays.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I once had, like, this was like 6 years ago, a guy that I don't even know texted my brother on Thanksgiving being like, I feel like Jared is going to, it crushes Thanksgiving comedy. And I was like, you know what? That's where I want to be. That's what I want. I would love for that to be my... I think I love uncomfortable. I love luxury problems. I love luxury problems, and there's nothing more luxurious. There's no bigger luxury problem than complaining about the family that loves you during what's supposed to be the happiest time of the year. So it's really in my wheelhouse to complain about the uncomplainable, which Valentine's Day. I mean, you know, what's a better holiday to complain about than that? Like, there's so many different angles, right?
Yeah, can you tell us give us your Valentine's Day spiel?
You posted a really cute post about Jess.
Yeah,
by the way.
I did post a cute post.
That was more emotional than I would have expected from you.
Well, she's right next to me. That post did not go well. Every post,
what? How did that post not go well?
Just know
she's there.
We don't have to hear from her. Her head just popped up let me just say, every post that you guys see on Instagram, if you're out there and you're like, look at how cute, it's followed by some version of not as cute as the post. Okay. So, and we all know that you guys are all in relationships. Like, so I made the big mistake. So I had I did shows in Tampa Bay and the shows were great. It was really, and one of the shows, three former Bachelorette contestants showed up. Ed, Bennett, and Dale Moss, which was the big get,
I guess.
I didn't know. I don't know Dale from anything. Like, we've never interacted. And Ben and Ed have been really nice guys about me making fun of the show. So they surprised me and sat front row. So after the show, we took a picture together again. Like, how stupid is this? Like, how funny is this? Whatever. And my plan is to post it the next morning. And so I posted the next morning, and it's like, happy Valen Bros Day. Like, it's all of us. Like, I look like, you know, the before picture and the before and after campaign. Like, they're all like Avengers. They're huge. I'm mini. I'm Joe Pesci. And it's like, and I just thought, like, I did it like the minute I woke up, just as a funny, like, whatever. Also,
oh, on the 14th. Okay.
On the 14th. So now it's like, what the fuck? Like, you posted about three dudes you don't even know. And then I already had in my drafts, like, the post ready, like, with the nice caption. I had thought it out. Like, it wasn't like I just, like, like, ran to post it. And then I did run to post it. And she's like, you look like an asshole. Like, and I agree. She's not wrong. Like, I look like an asshole. But I was like, I thought I would do it later in the day, like, have her moment. Like, let's get away from the Valen Bros, and let's get to you. But then I was in this position where it's like, no, I got to post. I don't want to, like, I agree with why she's upset. This was a big flub. And it's funny because the rest of the day, it's funny because we didn't talk about it. We get over it. We have a great day. We go out. We have a nice day around Tampa and St. Pete. And she goes, she's like looking at Instagram, and she's like, and in my head, I had been tracking the likes of the Valen Bros post versus my cute Valentine's Day post to Jess, and I'm like, damn it, we're 1,000 behind. I gotta sponsor this post. Like, I need this one to get more likes than the Valen Bros. And Jess, and we never talked about it, and Jess goes, huh, so we're about 500 behind. And I'm like, damn it, like, she's watching the same race I am. And it was just like, it is so funny, it's so stupid. What's that? Jess refused to like the Valen Bros post. She just said, I didn't even notice that. You know, like, it's just, these are the, how stupid Valentine's Day is like, totally. These are the arguments you get into. These are like, you know, and it doesn't matter. Like, again, we talk about this on You Up, but this is about this podcast too. Like, what you guys do at Betches. It's that, like, that weird sweet spot of, like, life is good, but it's also like that we're fighting about, we're arguing about this, and it has to be argued about, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. It's so funny, though. I didn't even notice the Dalen Bros things. Also, tell Jess that the algorithm, like,
determines the likes.
Not even determines the likes. You don't get, I don't see, I may have not seen Dale's picture before Jess's. You know, I could have seen Dale's picture 2 days later. But,
this is the point. Like, I think,
so,
like, again.
So tell her I saw the cute one, and I was like, oh.
I saw the cute one immediately.
That's like, the one I saw.
Sammy saw the cute one immediately. It's all they talk about. she said, that's,
I actually,
nice.
Okay, yeah.
What?
I'm on Team Jess.
Thanks, girls.
No, we really, it was very nice. I was like, this caption is like a solid caption. It has like the perfect level of lightness and, you know, longevity, but also a straightforward I love you, which a lot of male captions tend to lack.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get into this guy mode. I mean, that's the one that people side door the sweetness on their captions with, I'm just hanging with this guy for the day. And you're like, just say it's your boyfriend. Just say it's your girlfriend. Like, you know, and listen, I'm not beyond being, you know, I'm not beyond the idea of being a vulnerability being hard for me. Like, I like to make the joke first, be vulnerable second. So, but, you know, again, we're all trying to walk a tight wire of, like, you know, again, and this isn't just me because, or you guys, because we all have like a following. It's everybody has a following. Everyone is a public figure. And it's like, you have, everyone deals with this, and your problems are your own, and that means they're real problems. So, like, that is, you know, that's something that we should always remember, is like, we're all kind of going through that. Like, is the post right? Do I look like a dick? Is this person going to think, am I going to be the center of another group chat that I don't even know about? You know, like,
you know, it's funny what you're saying about how, like, your problems are your problems. I was just before this at my therapy session and So Avi and I are driving to Colorado today, and we're going to be on the road for like 3 days, pretty much. And that gives me like a lot of anxiety. Like I'm really, Aileen will tell you, like I'm really bad in transit. Like,
I get really planning transit.
I'm not planning any of this transit, but I'm bad in transit. Like I hate feeling unsettled. Like I hate being in the airport on the plane. Like I need to be at either home or the destination.
Yes.
Really bad in transit. So I was like talking to my therapist about how I'm like, I'm really anxious about the transit. And I was kind of like making fun of myself, like all the things that like I'm dreading, just like being bored essentially.
Sure.
And she was like trying to put it into perspective. And then she was like, to be fair, like this is a real source of anxiety for you. So it's not, I'm not like making light of it, but it's true. Like it is such a luxury problem.
But I agree.
But it hurts.
You know, but that's the thing. Like you can look at Avi and go, hey, you know, this is hard for me. And as your partner, he's going to go, okay, yeah, this is something that like I have to be aware of. I have to be prepared for like, and that's what a partnership is all about. Like that's what a relationship is all about, is like, you know, oh, that's a thing that they kind of, you know, have issues with, and I have to be helpful for that. This is the 2020. This is the problem with 2020, is like we've done a lot of 2021 now, but like still going. I think when this, it's still going, but when this pandemic started, everyone did a lot of problem measuring, which I think is the most unhealthy thing in the world. Like, you know, and it's like comparing issues and like and saying, well, and all again, I felt that way where it's like people asking, how are you? And you're like, I don't know. I know how many people are doing worse than me. So how can I say, but I can't say great. I don't want to sound like I'm insensitive to the people, you know, that like, I don't want to sound like one of those yacht people during the pandemic that was doing like Instagram stories from a swimming pool going, we're all in this yacht together. Yeah. Like, so it's like, again, there's this weird, you know, thing of like, you know, ignorance is bliss. And that is, you know, cliches happen for a reason. That line exists. For that reason.
But I think it could be, if you just can apply it, as long as you're not like sitting like Ellen DeGeneres saying like her house is like a jail in quarantine.
So what a choice of words.
You could just always have to remember that like two things can be true. Like you could be going through something of your own problems, but also people are suffering with their, in the grand scheme of life, worse problems, but both can be true. And as long as you acknowledge that both are true, then you're okay.
I mean, absolutely. I totally agree. And that's the responsibility of having a public forum, the responsibility. Yeah. And again, like, you know, everyone listening to this has 200 followers on Instagram or whatever the number is. So all of us have a public forum and all of us have a responsibility of being like, you know, being able to own in our life. And it's hard. We're the first generation to deal with this, to be like, yeah, my problems fucking suck. It sucks for me to go in transit. I hate it. And then also not posting online like a 7,000 word caption that's like, you all wouldn't understand my transit issues. You know?
But it's problem measuring is interesting because it actually hurts both parties, whether you're the one with the worst problem or you're the one with the less worst problem. Because if you are like diminishing your own stress because other people have worse stress, then you're therefore like invalidating your feeling and suppressing it, and like ultimately it's going to pop up in another way. But also if you're the one with the worst problem and you're like continuously telling yourself how your problems are so bad, not to discredit anyone who does that, because like I've definitely been that person before, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help you to feel like the victim, even if you are the victim.
I totally agree. I've been saying this a lot this year, and just with everything in the world that's going on, I'm like, I always sit here, I'm like, whenever I see a comment or a commentary, I'm like, okay, what's the net positive? Like where are we trying to go here? Like again, I'm like one of those people that like, especially with comedy, like all of my stuff got canceled. Like I had a good portion of like my income, a good portion of my life was just ended. And it's like, what am I going to do? Like, I see the people online that are like, open everything. And I see those people and I'm like, okay, that doesn't seem like you're trying to work through an issue. And then it's like, I see the people that are like, everybody leaving the house is an evil animal who killed my grandmother. And I'm like, I don't think you're helping either. Like, I genuinely don't think either is helpful. And it's like, where are we trying to go? And it's like, listen, I get the, and we live in the internet world a lot. So like, we know what's like,
that's only place I live like anymore.
Right?
It's just screens. It's just like, which I can't even avoid them anymore. I just have, which like, screen am I on? Like everywhere, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, it's crazy.
It feels like cat food has been the same forever. Smelly, boring, made of mystery ingredients. That's why you've got to try Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Make the switch from kibble and give your cat a meal they'll love. We actually sent some to my friend who is fostering kittens, and it is the only thing they will eat. It comes in these pate packages, and you scoop it, and you just feel like you're a chef for your baby kitties, and they j'adore it. Your cute kitty is descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey. Even if your cat prefers to nap all day, they still need fresh, protein-packed meals for a balanced and healthy diet. Other brands fill their food with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. After switching it up to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's major. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll completely refund you if your picky cat won't eat their food. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/DST and use promo code DST at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code DST for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code DST for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, baby.
So you're living with, are you living with your parents now? Where are you? You're in Florida.
I am in Florida. I am in Boca Raton. My parents are in a little community here, and they basically mid-December, I was like trying, like I was, again, my schedule is the dumbest schedule. So it's like midday, I like to go walk and go get a coffee, and I'll sit at a coffee shop. And
like Giovanna, she goes for a lot of walks too.
She's a walker. I mean, but I will stare at a wall at a coffee shop for 6 hours. Like I will legitimately while I tweet. And I was like, I can't even do the thing that gives me the most meditation in my life. And I'm not one of the, you guys know, I'm not the, you know, crystals and meditation type, but I'm I definitely was like, I can't even comfortably sit out at a coffee shop in New York. And my parents are like, what are you doing to yourself? They're like, and I'm very lucky. Again,
yeah,
I'm very lucky. I understand that. My parents are like, we have a little pool house that's like separated from us. Come stay in the pool house, hang out. Like,
you're like,
you'll
Seth
do whatever
Cohen.
You do here.
Or
yeah,
no,
I'll
Ryan
be Seth.
Cooper. No, Ryan. Fuck.
Who
I'm
is
mixing
it?
All their names up.
Ryan
McKenzie? Oh.
No, that's his real name.
Oh, yeah. Ryan. Out, no.
Reynolds. No.
Shit.
Oh my God, I don't know.
What show?
The OC.
OC.
Oh, I wish I looked like that dude. Are you kidding me? That's the good looking one.
Wait, so
I'm more the Jewish family in the
Seth,
house than
no, you're Sandy. You're Sandy Cohen.
Yeah, kind of.
I would do
Ryan
Atwood. Yeah, there
I thought
it is.
Ryan Atwood was a singer, but that's Brian Atwood.
wait, Jared,
I he's a designer. I don't fucking.
Jared, I remember the pool house story you told. Maybe it was like the first time you were on this podcast.
Yes.
About like you creeping in the middle of the night and then your mom locked the door.
So this is the famous pool house. This is the famous pool house where I told you guys the story about me trying to eat in the middle of the night. And it actually, health-wise, it is like helped me out a lot. Like as far as like getting on my game a little bit because I started working with a trainer and a nutritionist. I told you guys about that. Like
Forzag.
Forzag. Let me go to the plug city.
Yeah.
At Forzag, Alex Turoff, Alex underscore, Alex with an I.
You
okay,
need a t-shirt.
So I actually and I've been listening to the podcast here. Like I've been genuinely in like a good health mode lately. And my goal, as I told you guys, was like I just want to put on a t-shirt and feel good in the t-shirt. Like, and again, like that's been kind of like the best part of my fitness journey. And again, just because I'm talking about mine doesn't mean I know what happens with fitness stuff. It's
yeah.
I love chocolate. That means fuck vanilla. No, that's not what it means. You can do you. I can do me. I'm saying that I had to. I basically came to terms with this is my addiction and this is my thing. I'm like, there's no end.
Working out is your addiction or
no?
Trying to lose weight.
Just needing to fit into a t-shirt comfortably is my addiction. Like, like I definitely feel as though. It's like I definitely want, you know what I mean? Like
it's not your addiction. It's your ambition.
It's
your obsession.
To me, it's like you hear about like when an addict talks about like their issues with drugs, they're like, I'm always going to be an addict. I'm always going to be someone that says diet starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I just am going to be that person. And I kind of have that, like, I've kind of come to terms with that. And that's actually made me feel better because I'm like, listen, today was, like, I've been drinking out here a lot to deal with my parents. No, but, like, it's been hard because I'm living with my parents while trying to get in shape, which is so miserable because if it doesn't work in 3 minutes for my parents, then I'm doing the wrong thing.
Like, and it's your weight loss?
Or my weight loss. Yeah, my weight loss. Like, if I was like, so like, I'll be like, I'm going to there's a great restaurant here that I go to, and it's like it's called Fit Foods Cafe. And it's like, everything there is like,
I've been
it's,
there.
It's like every like Jewish woman is out there in Lululemon's like hanging out outside. Like, I'm the one dude, and like, I just come in there. But it's like all like egg white and all that stuff. Like, it's all like fits into the world of what I'm
1,200 calories
to do.
A day.
What? Yeah. No, I'm not even counting calories. I'm just like, I'm having this for
breakfast.
But the
women are.
Maybe they are. I would assume whatever they're doing is what they're doing. So I definitely like, so I'll go have this breakfast. My parents would not admit that I was like doing, like losing any weight. And they were like, what about the drinking? And I'd be like, I'm having a drink. Like, I'm going to enjoy my life. And then they'd be like, well, what about you? Well, and then like, they would be like, I don't know. And I'd be like, one time we went and I'm doing this like every day. I'm working out. I'm eating as what I can. I'm sitting for dinner with them and they're like, have the chicken. Why aren't you eating? You're not going to eat. You're eating too much. Like, this is like every meal. So it's like, how do I get through this while blocking out the noise of my parents? And it's been difficult, but I've kind of like stayed the course of like, this is when I'm being consistent. Like, if I have a bad day, I'm coming back to my breakfast the next day. If I'm going out that night, the next day is going to be better. And it's like, I think that's been a big thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, parents are like where all this shit comes from.
Sure. I mean, we went to the beach. My dad goes, just randomly, it's like my aunt and uncle, my dad and mom, my brother and his girlfriend, we're all sitting there, and my dad goes, Jared, how much do you weigh?
Was that what did you say?
Crazy.
Did you weigh
well, what I your reaction is the right reaction, like, oh my God, right? Like, you guys don't hear that.
Well,
so I go,
because it wouldn't be appropriate to ask a woman that, so we're like used to like knowing that's an inappropriate question, but I actually think that for men that's not an inappropriate question to ask. It's like, it's not the same to ask a man that question, which is why your dad probably thought it was okay. Not that I'm saying it is okay.
Well,
but
listen, I'm okay with the inequalities in the world. Like, I understand, like, I might hear that question from a man or as a man. But I said to him, I go, I was like, it's interesting because I'm not just going to be a bag in the wind here. Like, that's kind of my decision. Like, I'm sticking to my plan. I'm sticking to the people that I'm trusting in. And I'm sticking to, like, what makes me feel good. And I genuinely have been feeling good. And so when he goes, how much do you weigh? I go, I didn't just say, like, you know, I'm 220. Like, I wasn't like going to have this conversation. I just go, I don't understand why. What do you need this information for?
Yeah, why does he care?
And he just goes, no reason. I go, well, that's not how questions exist. Like, like you're not like,
I'm
I was
not
like,
renting
you don't
skis.
Yeah, yeah, right? We're not at the county fair, and I walked up to your booth, and it's the guess the weight competition. Like, what? Like, what are we? I go, you don't just ask someone their weight, put it in your notebook, and then go to bed. Like, that's not how it works. And he goes, no reason. Why? And then my mom goes, you know, he's sensitive. Now it's my fault. Now it's my fault. And I go, okay. I go, who on earth could you ask comfortably their weight? I go, honestly, like, I go, what is, I go, and just have no reason. Like, you have to have a reason. I go, if anything, I go, also, you know from living with me, I'm working out every day. I'm eating as good as I can eat. Like, I'm eating, like, you know, I'm watching myself at the very least. Like, whether you believe I am or not, I believe I am. And it's like, so don't you think that question can only be destructive? Right. I go, don't you think that question, I go, where does that question lead? Again, net positives. Where does that lead us that gets me to a better place? Just tell me. He right. goes, I don't know. I just wanted to know. I go, well, now you're holding back information. Like, this conversation is now happening at a scream on a public beach.
Oh, God.
And I go, now you're just, and my mom's going, stop it. Enough. I go, where does my weight take us in this conversation here? Like, he goes, my mom, everyone's like, enough. Like, my mom's yelling, enough. Everyone now looking over, like, what's enough? Enough of what? Like, you know, my mom's like, he wanted to know his weight. Jared's sensitive, like, yelling back to them. And I'm like
this happening, like, a group of people, like, on the beach in, like, Delray.
Yeah,
the blue chairs.
Yes. And again, like, we're sitting there, and my eyes are, like, wide. I'm like, in what world? I don't care. I go, to me, can I tell you what it feels like to me? It feels like you're saying every effort I've made that you've watched made has been a waste of my time.
Right. Like, what answer would have been right to him? Like, how does he know what you should weigh? Like, how does he know
what was he thinking about when he was asking that question?
So then I talked about it on my Patreon. And he listens to, he loves listening to those. So then the next day he goes, you know, you took it all wrong. I go, and now we're back in the same fight. We were on the beach, and my mom is in the room going, stop it. He's so sensitive. Like, it's like my mom was, like, following around like a bird, just like, stop, sensitive, you know, like, and it was just like, and my dad goes, and we're back in the same conversation. I go, I just don't understand where that was taking us. What was going on in your mind? I go, don't you understand I'm not the most naked I could be publicly, and you're asking me what my weight is, like, as if I'm not going to be, like, worried about how I should feel in that moment. Like, I go, and to be honest, I was feeling good. Like, I've been working out, I've been eating well, like, I'm consulting with a nutritionist, and like, there, and then he's like, well, who's this nutritionist? Like, he's now doubting their like, credentials. And I go, what was going through your mind? And he goes, I don't know, you're just so thick. Like, I just want to know.
He was just thinking about your, like, ratio of, like, yeah, muscle mass to fat ratio.
Like, I have to know what you weigh, what that weighs, you know? Like,
ask him how much he weighs.
No, I don't care. I don't understand where that takes us.
Does he think that, like, this is a reflection on him? Like, your body is a reflection on him?
I don't think it's a reflection on him. I think he goes through the same things as me. I think my dad and I are built the exact same way. So it's like, we're very barrel chested. So, like, again, a therapist could tear this apart.
Barrel
chested.
What does that mean?
Instead of fat tits, I'm going to call it barrel chested for my own fucking insecurities.
I feel like it's the body type that led your dad to ask what your thickness weighs. Like, that's what made him think that. That's barrel chested.
Generally, it's just we're from the same cloth. So, like, and he is someone who's dealt with his weight and fitness his whole life. So I think it's this, like, again, as I said earlier in the show, I lean towards the goodness in people. I don't think my dad did that to, like, destroy me on the beach.
No.
Like, I do think it came from a place of, like, concern, worry. and his own insecurities, not wanting me to have the same insecurities as him. Like, I understand all that.
Totally.
To me, in the moment, though, like, I sit there, like, again, everything to me is funny, and everything to me is like...
This
like,
is hilarious.
Yeah, even more funny is just, like, the idea... And you guys understand, like, I did talk about this on You Up, for the listeners that listen to You Up, but, like, it is funny because I told you guys, and immediately you both were like, whoa, stop the show. We have to talk about this. And, you know, Jordana doesn't understand. Like, you know, she's in the same way. Like, she understands, but not, like, in the, you guys know.
What did Jordana say?
Well, I think I tried to relate it to dating, and
like asking why you're single. Like,
I think that was what it was.
Why don't meet anyone? Like, that kind of... Are you on the dating apps? Like, that
Because Jordana has... that's her thing. She's like, that's not the same to me as your thing. Which is, again, now we're measuring problems, which is kind of the subject of everything that we started on.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, so I got to tell you another story. This is actually crazy. So because I'm here with the Costanzas and all the existing, every episode of Seinfeld where they go to Florida is Florida. Like, they nailed it so much that it sounds like you are just telling like a Seinfeld story. Like, it doesn't sound like, so my dad's like, let's go hit some balls. Let's go play some golf. Okay. I'm not a great, I don't play golf. I don't mind. I like it. I like going out. Like, I like being outside. I like playing with friends when we're drinking and like no one's over my shoulder being like, hold the club that way. Hold it this way. What are you doing? Like, when you play with your dad or mom who plays, it is enraging. Oh, so
it's a lesson.
My dad's like, it's always a lesson that you, they act like you've been taking lessons for 6 years and now you fucked up all the lessons they got you. Like,
and you're a major disappointment.
They act this like they, you care. Like do
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just was like, I want to hit it straight. Of course. I'll take your tips. But if I'm not doing your tip, I don't think we're handling it here. Like, I don't think today's the day where I learn how to drive. But I'm trying. And I also don't want every ball that I hit to go in the water. So, like, now it becomes like a money thing. I'm wasting, you know, like, so... My dad's like, let's go hit some balls. So I don't have – half of golf is looking good on the golf course to me. Like, and I know that's like, you know, again, to go back to our – you know, you'll refer me to your therapist afterwards. But I'm saying, to me, like, you look good on the golf course. Everyone's got the clothes. Everyone's got the hat. Like, I think that's part of it. And so I'm walking around my house, and I'm like, I don't have any golf stuff. Like, I have, like, the khaki shorts from Abercrombie. and like a polo shirt that doesn't fit me. So I'm like, I go in the house. Yeah, like I go in the house and my mom's like, just wear that. And I go, do you have anything like for my dad? Like, do you have anything nicer? She's like, no, you look great. Go, go, go. So I'm in this like ill-fitting shirt, shorts. I have to tuck in the shirt. I don't like a tuck. So we get to the golf course. I go to the driving range. My dad's there. I get out there. There's a woman there. Okay. She's very nice. I don't want to. And listen, if she, my dad goes, this is so-and-so. This is, we'll call her Linda. This is Linda. This is my son, Jared. Jared. Oh my God. Jared, I've been waiting to meet you. I heard you're so funny. I'm like, hey, Linda, nice to meet you. Thank you so much. She goes, you worked out, you exercise with my daughter. And I'm like, you exercise with my daughter is the exact words. And at that point, and I don't know if you guys understand this, but I think you would, I have this ping that goes into my head of like, please don't yell that I exercise with anybody.
Like, wait, where like, do you exercise with her daughter?
Exactly. She kept yelling it. I'm waiting for my dad to be like, that fat fuck, he doesn't exercise anywhere. Like I don't, like, when you don't look like a fitness model and someone's yelling, you exercise with my daughter, I shrivel up into like a cap, like into like a lowercase c, because I'm like, I don't, like, to me, everyone's looking over and going, he exercises? Like, that's my first thought. So she kept going, you exercise. And I'm like, Barry's Boot Camp? Did we go to Barry's Boot Camp together? And she goes, yes, Barry's Boot Camp. So, and she goes, and my daughter's boyfriend is obsessed with your comedy. And I go, that's how she knows me, not exercise. Like, in my head, I'm going, they're a fan. Thank you. Like they like my stuff. We happen to be in a Barry's Boot Camp class next to each other. And, like, in my mind, like, and again.
You exercise.
Again, she is not wrong. Like, I think this woman is very nice. I don't think she meant, again,
she
this
didn't
is
mean
on
to
the
trigger you.
No. And this is on the subject of triggering. Like, people don't, nobody's out to get you, right? Okay? So I don't live in that world where someone's like, well, can you please use not use the word exercise around me? Like, you can't live that life. Right. You're going to lose. Right. So I go, you, and again, these are my insecurities, not hers. So she goes, no, and her boyfriend's obsessed with you. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, they're fucking fans. She recognized me in a Barry's Boot Camp class. But on the outside, I'm going, oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. And now I walk to my dad and I feel like, oh my God, thank God. I escaped this.
No?
Like, because I think as a guy, and I don't know if women, I think, listen, I'm not trying to compare struggle, but I am saying guys are on the constant lookout for when we're going to get roasted. Like, I was waiting for my dad to be like, exercise, like to turn into like Don Rickles, like, exercise, not in a million years. Ah! Like, you know?
Right.
So, like, that's what I'm like, fending that off. That's where my insecurity is lying. So, all
I think,
of a sudden,
you said you don't know if women experience sure. this. I think what women are worried about fending off is who will talk shit about them behind their back.
Totally agree.
That's the equivalent.
That's so, the equivalent.
Or yeah. who's, like, getting info about you or, like, sizing yeah. you up to talk shit about you later. And yeah. what are they getting?
Yeah. And they won't do it to your face. So it's like, you don't have to, yeah.
There are pros and cons to both. You know, like, I totally agree with what you're both saying. So I go, so then I'm, like, going back to hit balls. My dad's next to me. All of a sudden, Linda's husband walks up. And Linda goes, did you meet Jared? He exercises with our daughter. And immediately the husband goes, well, it's been a while since they've done that. And I'm like, got me. You know, like, it was like I got hit by the bullet. I was like, ah!
He just met you. That's so funny.
Literally, God, Don Rickles, he did the joke I thought my dad was going to do. Like, it came out of
nowhere.
You didn't
know where
it was like a sniper.
From.
Exactly.
That's a sniper attack.
And I'm like, oh. And then the mom is so funny. The mom goes, what are you talking about? Our daughter looks great. She takes offense for the daughter. He goes, she could lose a few. Like, he's already in this, like, jokey zone.
Oh, my God.
This happens a lot with me as a comic. I know. And it happens a lot with me as a comic, too, because people think they got to, like, come in guns blazing. Right. So, like, I am literally, like, it's as if I just got shot in the fucking chest. And
does his daughter know that, like, her dad is talking shit about him?
Unless she listens to this podcast, I don't know. I was offended for me. I was offended for the daughter. And then we had a nice conversation. He was a very nice guy. They're a very nice family. Like, please let me, like, let people know. Like, I genuinely enjoyed them. I hated that experience, though. And then, like, you know, then I got to go golfing with my dad and get judged on my golf swing. So, like, now I know I look like shit. This shirt makes me look like I don't exercise. Like, these things, and this is all to say, like, what I was trying to say in the beginning, this lives with you forever. Like, the idea that you're, like, so it's not that I'm giving up, but I think, like, there's power in admitting to that. And, like one of the powerful things that I've admitted to is that I need a beginning, middle, and end to a meal. Like, I can't have an open-ended meal. I will fail that test.
What's the end of a meal? What do you
need?
Appetizer to dessert?
Well, that could be that. Well, I do better at restaurants with that being the case than I would do with just a closet full of food being next to the meal we just had in the house. Like, again, like a bowl situation. Jess and I last night, we went to this place. I'm Mr. Plugs today. Fresh Kitchen. Is that where we went? She's not even listening. So, Fresh Kitchen. We get this bowl, and it's like, the bowl has a beginning, middle, end. I can look at it, go, and sit there and go, should I get cookies? No, I'm done. You did it. You had the meal. It was good. You loved it. Go.
Like, right.
This is like when I'm like get a little hungry for a snack. I've been leaning into bars. The bars are just like, every meal is not made to be special, and that's okay.
That's hard thing to come to terms with, I'll be honest.
Totally. And that's where I get
someone
what I,
who, yeah. As people who get like a lot of their moment to moment pleasure out of food, it's totally hard to not make every meal like feel like it needs to be exceptional.
Yeah, and when I put off a meal, that's what I end up being. Like, now this has to be the best thing, also healthy, also a restaurant that's been recommended 7,000 times on Thrillist. Like, I can't find that. At that point, you're starving yourself.
Yeah.
So you can't have like an open-ended meal where like a buffet.
I would lose a buffet. But that's not to say I'll never. Here's the other thing. I'll eat at a buffet again in my life. This is the admission. This is the admission part. Like, I'm going to eat at a buffet again. I'm also not going to be going to the buffet to try and be healthy. Like, it's just not going to, that's not where it's going to happen for me. That, again, this is to me, it's similar to the in transit. Like, I'm going to be bad in transit. Like, yeah. There's an admission there.
Right. I can't remember the last time I ate at a buffet even.
A hotel, like a hotel breakfast buffet.
Oh, probably. Maybe like that. Yeah. Or like a wedding, perhaps.
We drove back from Tampa after the shows last weekend, and the radio people were talking about buffets like as if they eat at them every 6 minutes. It was like the most. The more they talked about buffets, the more disgusted we both got. We're like, what's going on with these people here? Yeah.
I feel like I just haven't like been faced with many buffets since COVID.
Yeah. Buffets are not COVID friendly.
Yeah.
Wait, it doesn't seem to be.
I can't believe that guy. You know what I hate? When I was like, oh, I hate parents. When like there's like these parents that have these like this like just small bowl of jokes that they reach for. And like it's a very shallow bowl. And it's always they think they're hysterical.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's it going to be? I'm going to talk about weight. Oh, he can lose a few. Or it's something about how annoying women are. Or it's just so fucking annoying.
It's hacky. It's hacky. And it's like, here's the thing. Like, we do, it's so much easier to be nice than it is to be mean. So like a lot of us, many of us, me included, I just laugh through it. And it's like, they don't, doing stand-up comedy, like the reason stand-ups go on stage and practice is they are listening for laughter as much as they're listening for silence. So it's like you're just trying to get to a point that you've cut out all the silence 100% of the time. So in the stand-up comedy of life, that guy hears me go, ha, 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 and he gets the dopamine that you get with making someone laugh. And I've ruined things for the next person.
For the next person. Yeah, you're fucking shit up.
Yeah.
Okay, what goes through your head when like someone, when you're testing jokes and like no one laughs and you're on stage? Like I get it if you're and have a small group, but like you're on stage.
It's the most, it feels awful. So when I first started doing stand-up, and this is now almost 11 years ago, it was like the worst feeling in the world. Like, because I had no other jokes to like go to. Like, you have a toolkit. So like, I had no other jokes to like go into that I could be like, okay, let me bring back the show so that no one noticed what I just said. And also, stand-up is like, you're saying, here's what I think is funny. Every joke is, I think this is funny.
Right.
And then when there's silence, it's the audience going, that is not fucking funny. And it's like, that's why, like, I do a lot of stuff on the internet too. I remember dealing with like people on the internet that thought they were the funniest people in the world, because on the internet, you don't bomb. It's either people loved it or they're trolls. So right. With stand-up, nobody came to a stand-up show to not laugh. They're not trying to be dicks. They're in it with you. They paid for this experience. So it's the most honest form of feedback. So you either get it or you don't. And now 11 years in, I've gone on stage until this year every night of my life, three times a night. Now it's different. Now it's like, okay, I got to work on that. Like now it's homework. Now it's like, cause I record every set and on audio at the very least. And now it's like, okay, I got to go back. I got to fix that because I think it's funny. I'm just not communicating it right.
Right. I do wonder if that like has helped. Cause I mean, like it takes a lot of getting confidence to stand there and like make a joke perform. And no one laughs and not let it hurt every time. So now you're saying that you sort of take it as like feedback to learn and it's not so emotional. So I wonder if it's like maybe one day you could get to the same place where it's like your dad asks you for your weight and it's not like, it's not you. It's like, dude, just calm down. We don't need to talk about that. Like you're taking notes on your dad rather than taking notes on yourself, you know? Well,
to me, I did that by saying to him, where does this get us? Like I'm more, you know, like where, like when I get heckled, I noticed it in Tampa. Like there was a younger comic who was the feature and I was the headliner, which is like the more experienced comic. Okay. When I get heckled and someone yells out, I genuinely ask, what did you say? Like, I don't get mad. I just go, what did you say? Like, with a smile on my face. Because I genuinely know that I will make whatever they try to do into something where I am the funniest one in the room. So I have confidence in that. So I know that I can ask them what they said. They're going to have to repeat what they thought was funny.
Right. It's awkward.
And then we can talk about how dumb the thing they said was that they thought was funny. I will turn that into something powerful and something constructive. I saw younger comics going on before me. When they get heckled, they kind of laugh through it in the way that we were talking about with my dad. I did do what I would do on stage. I was like, what does that even mean? Like, where does that get us? And I was proud of myself for that because it wasn't like I was like, 215, why? You know, 220, why? No, I don't understand why you would ask that.
Defensive, right.
Exactly. And my mom just jumps to, you're sensitive. Like, just because she just doesn't want any discussion of anything ever. So like,
she prefers the silence.
Yeah. It was like a 2-on-1. It was like a wrestling match where it was like a handicap match where they have 2-on-1 where it's like, my mom was in the right corner. My dad was in the left corner. My dad's like, how much do you weigh? My mom's like, you're sensitive. So I have to like fend off that I'm not being defensive while also discussing with my dad why he's come to this conclusion to ask this question.
Right.
That is
your mom's funny.
I mean, I've been here since mid-December. It has not stopped. I feel like my mom, like getting used to living with your parents, if anyone had to move back or do a similar thing to what I'm doing, like you have to get used to their rules. They act like the rules are written on a wall in the house and they're not. They're just rules that exist and you have to like figure them out the way. I kept calling my mom a Jewish boppet. because it was like,
skip it.
Because, yeah, it would be like, shut the door, take off your shoes, close the garage. And then if I fucked up, he'd be like, Jared. So it'd be like, shut it, take it, shave it, close it, Jared. You know, like that.
You should make one for her.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it was just, I really should. But like, again, though, like I love my family too. So like you have this like thing where you're like, I love hanging out with them. It's so funny as an adult. Like, I mean, I did a Valentine's Day digital show. I videotaped. They're obsessed with how trash gets thrown away here. Like they, like if you throw away a cup with like ice in it, they freak the fuck. Like I threw away a cup with 3 cubes of ice in it. And it was as if I literally peed into the garbage can and was like, oh, that's not where it goes. They were like, no, they were like, no, you got, who throws a cup away that way? You have to know the garbage here is very specific. My dad is walking around with little CVS bags full of garbage. He won't use the garbage. He's just like continuously, because they'll keep a CVS bag out and it's just like, it's just like, that's the garbage, because once we fill that up, then we can take it out right away because we don't want it smelling in the house. I'm like, then what's the purpose of having a garbage can in the first place? Like,
they're like reserving the big items.
Yeah. They're just, yeah.
For the larger can.
It's so every exchange here is crazier than the last. And I genuinely enjoy it. Like, I do think it's so. I got in an argument at a bagel shop. In line at a bagel shop in Boca. Like, that sounds like a hacky Jewish joke. Like, that sounds like an anti-Semitic setup for a joke. Like, there was a line outside the
about?
There was the bagel place line, and there was like 10 people in line. My mom was like, go. I ordered a multi-grain bagel. She's like, I gotta get these multi-grain. She sent me out to get 3 multi-grain bagels. Okay. I go, do you need these bagels? She goes, I already paid for them. They're waiting for you. Go to Bagel Works. Get the multi-grain bagels. So I didn't know that there were 2 Bagel Works. Yeah. And I didn't know. And I haven't lived in a suburb. I haven't lived in a town like this since 18. Like I have. And I also, I always lived in New York. My parents were in Boston. So I've been removed enough. I've never done these errands, you know? Like, so I go to Bagel Works. I get there. There's a huge line outside. And people in line are going, the back! The back! And I go, I'm here for a pickup. The back! They don't even listen to you. They just sounded like a bunch of Jewish birds. Just back, back, back! And I'm like, okay. I go, I'm here for a pickup. I've already paid. I walk by them as they're screaming at me. I go, hey, it felt like I was in Hades and all the dead were trying to pull me back in. Like, they're coming to get me. And so then I go, I order bagels. They're like, you're at the wrong Bagel Works. I'm like, oh, damn it. So then I had to, they go, the other one's 3 miles that way. So I go to get in the car. I go to the other Bagel Works. There's another line at the other Bagel Works. And they're going, get in the back. And they're doing the same thing as the last place. And I go, listen, I just met you people. I already ordered. I was like, I'm not going to get the last everything whole week. Okay. I promise you. Like, I'm yelling at them. And I get my multi-grain bagels. But like, stuff like that happens all the time. And it's like, I can't, and my eyes just are like, this is so funny and enraging all at once.
The back. That's really funny. Wait, so Jared, what's the deal with your new comedy special coming out?
Oh my God. If anyone has gotten to this point in the show, they must think I'm a little bit funny, because I'm sorry. I always take over. I never shut the fuck up.
This is
we
fun.
Love it. We love
okay,
it.
Good. Okay.
Like, it's a personal comedy show for an hour. People pay for this to go on Zoom.
That's right. I've been doing Zoom shows. So basically, in the beginning of the summer, I started kind of writing COVID material. And it's on the subject that we talked about today of your problems are enough. Like, you have problems. And I, again, like, because we're all going through something at the same time and we're all acutely aware of people that are doing worse than us, it's hard to like answer, how are you? It's hard to like, and also like, we have a lot of people that like will say how important mental health is, and then they'll put a passive aggressive comment on your Instagram post when you visited your family. And it's like, I think both of the, like, I think that's insane. Like, I think that's like, if you have someone to talk to about their social distancing, you should talk to your dad, talk to your mom, go talk to your cousin, go talk to someone offline. And a lot of this is, so the whole stand-up special is 34 minutes about 2020 and the social stuff that was going on. So I had 20 minutes of material by like Thanksgiving, and I was like, I think I could get it to 30. So we put in like interviews. It is made by a production company that would make any Netflix special. I tried to sell it, couldn't sell it. I'm putting it on YouTube. So
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
You guys, I would love for you to watch
it.
It comes out March 2nd. And what I need from this audience, because again, I love the DST family. I want people to watch it. I want people to make a night of it. I want people to put it on their TV, airplay it. And I want people to comment positive things. If you liked it, hit the like button. YouTube is a gross, disgusting, horrible place. And I'm mentally preparing for all the negativity I'm going to get. But if you enjoy it and you had a good time with it, like it. Comment that you liked it. It's called Socially Distanced, of course. It was taped in Indianapolis. It's 34 minutes. It's the perfect runtime. It has interviews. It has stand-up. We're going to play 16 seconds from it. I talked about kind of the people that snipe you on the internet, the people that, like, I talked a little bit about Adele and saying that she looked great and people getting mad at you. And that's what this clip that I, you know, shared with you guys is all about. Oh, you can play the clip right now. Yeah. So this is the clip. I'm setting up the clip like I'm on Jay Leno. yeah.
How did this you is know a, we're going to play a clip, Jared?
You also had such feeling. A Jay Leno laugh just now. It was just like.
good for us. So Monica Lewinsky's on the news. So like, again, it's about the social interactions of 2020. And I taped it on New Year's Eve. I'm the only, so it's taped on the last night of the worst year of most of our lives. And that's how it starts. And it's I'm proud of it. And I'm proud that people can, again, if people have seen me do stand up, they know I talk about body issues. They know I talk about dating. This is all the other stuff. And I'm kind of proud to be able to put that stuff out. But this clip is about someone getting mad at you for selling Adele that she looks great.
If I lost 100 pounds and nobody said anything, I would be fucking furious. I would be at that party walking around like a toddler who doesn't get enough attention. Like, hey, everybody! I would stop everyone and be like, shut the fuck up! I like lettuce now, and that needs to be acknowledged!
I'm excited to listen to
I'm
the whole
so
thing
excited.
Once Thank I'm you so out of much. Transit.
Yeah. Well, have fun on your trip. And also, like,
thank you.
And thank you guys. 10 years. This is an amazing, this, like, such congratulations. I always tell everyone, you're the best people to work with in the world. And the thing you guys built, I'm just so proud to be a part of it in my small, tiny, screamy way. So, it's,
thank you.
It
thank
is
you.
Very
we
nice.
Are very lucky. We love working with you too. And
oh,
you're screaming.
You were the first.
Didn't throw it away for
you
anything.
Were the first podcast I ever went on. And
that's right.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, like 2016.
And look at us now. We're sitting here talking about my dad asking me how much I weigh. You know?
Well, everybody go check out Jared's special coming out March 2nd. And obviously go listen to You Up. Go listen to J Train podcast and go follow Jared Fried. And everyone just go follow us if you want at Diestars Tomorrow, at Aileen, at Sammy. Figure out how to spell it. I can't. I'm so tired right now.
I'm loving the Thursday episodes.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. We love a short, quick app.
Those are very shareable. Everyone should be sharing them if they're a fan of the show, because those are the best ones to share, I think.
Oh, you're really good. Can you do this
you're
for me?
You're so
can
good
you
at this.
Do this part for me.
If I was to plug, if I were you, I'm not going to tell you how to do whatever you, because
no,
I love the show. I'm
us.
A fan. But I would say to anyone listening right now, you should share every Thursday episode. I mean, share this one because I'm on it and, you know, I love myself too much. But I'm saying the Thursday episodes that you guys do, it's a little nice little, like, hey, it's basically like going to the ice cream shop and being like, can I try a little bit of
right,
the sorbet?
Right.
And it's like, that's such an easy thing. And again, people get weird with their entertainment. They put their fists up. Oh, they don't like to hear that they're not in the know. That's the problem. People go, I'm not a podcast person. I have my podcast. No, make it your Instagram stories. Tag Diet Starts Tomorrow. Let the internet do its thing. People will look at your post. I promise you. So when you make it your Instagram story, it is a non-invasive way to tell people how great you think the show is.
We appreciate that. Thank you for helping us promote our podcast. No, definitely. Please share. And please share this podcast. Go and tag Jared 100 times.
Tag me. I'll
Jared,
send you a heart.
Jared. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Betches.